name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to assure us that we are not forsaken. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you were here with us this past Sunday, you heard the reading of the Passion from St. Mark, and a big part of that reading of the Passion is the sort of climactic moment in Jesus' suffering and death, where he cries out to the people that are gathered there at Golgotha, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." Those words kind of reverberate through our souls as we hear him say those things. But to be quite honest, we're not really sure what he says. We're given the fact that it's translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we kind of take Mark's word for it and Matthew's word for it, that they're translating that out correctly, and they are. But what we don't really get is where those words come from. Unless you're a little bit more of a Bible scholar than quite a few people are, you don't know that those words come from a psalm that David wrote when he was having an especially bad day. Psalm 22, where he starts off that psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it seems that as Jesus was dying on the cross, those words penned by David seemed to be the best words that he could come up with to explain the suffering and the anguish that he was experiencing in that moment. Words that ring out into that evening, into that afternoon, as he is dying there, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And especially on a night like tonight, we maybe are asking the same question. My God, why have you forsaken him? As we look at Jesus dying innocently for our sins, on this Good Friday, we are given this perspective on things that says that we're not worthy of that kind of a sacrifice. That we're asking as well, my God, why have you forsaken him? Why not me? Why not all of my fellow sinners? And yet, as we consider what these words are meaning, we dig a little bit deeper into what Jesus is saying. So Jesus here, he's using an interesting language choice that both Matthew and Mark, they record the language choice of Jesus that he's speaking here, not in the trade language of Greek, not in the imperial language of Latin of his day, not even in the theological language of Hebrew, but in the everyday language of Aramaic. The everyday language that he would have probably grown up speaking with his family and with his friends, the everyday language that he probably had conversations with his disciples in, that it's that friendly language, that colloquial language that he's using here. Understanding that who he's talking to are the people that understand who he is, the people that have followed him for these many years as he's been ministering to the people of Galilee and beyond. He cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And we hear him say those words. And in a lot of ways, those words are words that really get to the heart of what Jesus is doing for us on the cross. Because you see, what Jesus is doing for us on the cross is he's taking our punishment upon himself. And as bad as the punishment of being mocked might be, it's not like if you leave this place and you go out and you get mocked for your faith, that somehow that's going to sort of make up for some of your sins. As bad as it might hurt if we took a crown of thorns and put that on your head and beat it in with a stick, it still wouldn't be a punishment that was worthy of forgiving your sins. As bad as it might hurt to have you stretch out on a cross and to nail nails into your hands and into your feet, those things still wouldn't wipe your slate clean. Because the apex of the punishment that Jesus received in our place was not those things. Those things led up to it. Those things made it happen. Those things were a part of what he was doing before us. But the thing that was the greatest punishment was something that we could not actually view with our eyes. And that thing, that punishment, was that God was severing ties with himself. That the bond that was there between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that was broken for a moment in time on the cross as Jesus cried out. The theological term for that cry is the cry of dereliction. The cry that said that this is the worst thing that could happen to Jesus. And that worst thing that could happen to Jesus is what you and I are in danger of because of our sins. We're not in danger of being taken outside of Tallahassee and being put up on a cross, but we are in danger of having a moment where we would be forsaken by God, where God would look at us and our sins and turn his back on us because of them. My God, why have you forsaken me? That is what we deserve to say. That is the cry of dereliction that we should be crying out. But instead of that, Jesus took that upon himself, so that we could know that we would not be forsaken. I mentioned earlier that we hear that haunting cry, that Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that we heard that on this past Sunday as we were reading it out of the Gospel of Mark. But here's a little sort of note about the service tonight. Tonight, what we're reading out of in the gospel is not the Gospel of Mark, it's not the Gospel of Matthew, but it's rather the Gospel of John. And each of the gospel writers record Jesus' crucifixion in a slightly different way. And one of the things about John's telling is that John does not record Jesus saying those words. John records other words. meaningful words. Words that you will hear tonight. But words that you will not hear tonight are Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And so listen closely tonight as we read those words, that telling of the last moments of Jesus' life. Listen closely to the words that are there, but remember the words that are not there. Remember that there are no words being spoken in tonight's gospel that say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus has taken those words into himself. Has become forsaken himself. And has taken those words to the tomb. So that those words would never be ours. Amen.